The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and in the sowing some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the dominion of heaven and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. It was really hot in Tiberias. As hot as it has been here in Boston the past week, it was probably way hotter in Tiberias that day, and I can tell you that from this morning. So Jesus got up early one morning and sat by the water to gather himself before a busy day of preaching, healing, and raising the dead. But so many people gathered around him that he had to get on a boat and go out into the water, into the Sea of Galilee. And people still kept gathering there on the beach. And from there, in that boat, even though he was tired, and even if he might have thought they could have left him alone until he had his coffee, he said, "Listen." In Arabic, we would say, "Ismail, listen." And then Jesus told the story of the seeds and the sower. There's a sower, and there are seeds. And there are various kinds of ground. And some of the seeds will land in good places, and some in less than good places, and some will grow, and some will not. And now let all those with ears hear, Jesus needs his coffee, thus saith the Lord. Amen? Now, in the Gospel according to Mark, Jesus gives a really clear explanation of what this parable means. He says that the sower is Jesus, the seeds are the word of God, and the soil is the various contexts where those seeds might be landing and grow or not grow. And still, even with these explanations, preachers and scholars and hearers may disagree on who is the sower and who are the seeds and even what is the soil that we're talking about. And so it is with faith. So it is with life, and definitely so it is with stories. And so let me tell you a story. When I was first called as a pastor to a rural congregation in Illinois, I was so excited because the call came with a 3-bedroom, 2-bath parsonage. And this was far beyond what I could have imagined after living many years in Chicago student housing with 2 kids and 3 cats. And when I arrived, I saw that the parsonage included more space than I could have imagined. Behind the parsonage were 2.5 lots of land. At the time of my arrival, that land was mowed, neatly mowed, I should say, and empty. At our first council meeting, a week or two later, one of the items on the agenda was the replacement of certain signs around those empty lots. And I think I said something like, what signs? And the answer was something like, no entry, no football, no picnics, no littering, church property. Now, I was new, which is often a blessing for a pastor, and so I asked, and why do we have such signs on church property? And what I was told is that kids often try to congregate there and play football. And they were not church members. And they would leave trash, and they would be noisy, and they would generally be non-churchy. And they would say to me in a hushed whisper, "Hide the pastor's house." Now, again, I was new. I didn't know very much. And so I said, I wondered aloud to the council, I wonder, what if instead of spending money on those signs, what if we did something else with those empty lots? What if we did something new with those empty lots? Now fast forward a season, and the church earned a grant from the county to plant a community garden in that space. I was mostly a city kid, and so I had imagined a nice little tomato patch in the back. No, that's not what happened, because these were farmers that I was ministering to. They brought a tractor and mowed the entire place, filled the entire place, and we soon had a small farm behind the parsonage. 2.5 lots, okay? Just imagine this. And it was beautiful. And it was a lot of work. My parishioners already had their own farms and their own gardens to tend to, so this was a big task and a big ask to do this. But we were able to give vegetables to the local food pantry. We got written up in the local newspaper. There's actually a picture of me blessing the tractors, wearing them all in my Converse, which is actually one of my favorite pictures ever. The synod was, of course, thrilled with what we were doing. And I enjoyed so many BLTs with fresh tomatoes from behind the parsonage door. But the best thing that happened was one day in late October, a kid from the neighborhood, one of those kids who had been told, keep off the lawn, he came to the front door of the parsonage and said, Mrs. Pastor, I see you have pumpkins. Could I have a pumpkin? Because it's almost Halloween and they're real expensive right now. You see, we lived in a part of Illinois that was just outside of Chicago, and it was almost a tourist destination for urban people. And so we had an apple farm and a pumpkin farm, but that meant that locals couldn't really buy a pumpkin, right? Mm-hmm. Because they were super expensive. This kid couldn't afford a pumpkin. I said, sure, you can have a pumpkin. Get one. Go pick the one you want. Well, then the word got around. And that the Lutheran church had pumpkins, and the kids kept coming. You know, we had given so much food to the local food pantries, but pumpkins were the big prize. And kids started coming to get one because the church was producing a harvest, because the church had good soil, or the church was good soil, or the church was sowing seeds, or the church was receiving seeds. I don't know. But what I do know from the parable of the sower and from experience is that there are things we're not responsible for. We're not responsible for the seeds or the sowing or the growth. But I do know that Jesus, when he was sitting there in that boat on the Sea of Galilee, looking at the throngs of people, looking to him to give them the answer, he was telling them, go and attend to your soil. Go attend to your soil, because wherever you are, seeds are being sown. Wherever you are, there are seeds needing a place to take root and be watered and planted and cared for. Whether you're in rural Illinois with soil as black as night, or in Harvard Square, with a patch of grass in the back and a patch in the front and cement all around. Still, Still, we are called to care for our soil. You know, I've been here almost exactly 1 year. Not quite. And one of the reasons I was excited to come here and work among you is that I knew Union Loop is good soil. I had heard stories about this place. I had heard that this congregation has been a welcoming congregation for LGBTQ people before the ELCA existed, and long before the ELCA got around to being welcoming to people like me. Union Loop has welcomed women clergy, has grown future bishops, and tended to gender inclusive language and liturgy, opened a shelter, housed a family in crisis for years, and served as a home on the way for countless university students who are now living and working all over this world. I heard these stories about Union Loop and I thought, this is good soil. I think that the earliest members, the founding members of this congregation, those who congregated on this piece of land in 1929 before this building existed, wanted this to be good soil because they looked around and they knew that they couldn't walk anywhere in Harvard Square without coming into contact with seeds, right? The sower is just casting seeds everywhere in this place, on the sidewalks, in the restaurants, in the subway, in the square. One of my dear friends from seminary, the Reverend Angela Kappa, once preached a sermon to the women of the ELCA gathering in which she compared the sower of the seeds to Oprah. Now, for the younger people in this room, you should know that Oprah sometimes liked to give out free gifts to her audience, and so she would say things like, you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car, everybody gets a car. And so Reverend Angela invited us to imagine the sower like Oprah saying, you get seeds, and you get seeds, and you get seeds. Everybody gets seeds. Indeed, everybody gets seeds because our God is a God of abundance. Our God is one who is planting good things in every single place where we are. Now, we don't get to decide which seeds we get, or how many, or where they're going to land. We're not in charge of the sun or the rain, although today I would really love to be in charge of the rain. Thinking about all of our farmers in Vermont and those who are suffering because of the rain today. We're not in charge of some of those things, but we are charge, we do get to tend to the soil. I mean this both figuratively and literally. We get to decide how to care for this piece of the earth that we are given in this time. Now, we could put up signs and say, keep off. We could build a mighty fortress and keep the seeds out. We could knock it all down and plant a garden. We could open our doors and be a haven for the lost. And if you think I'm talking about the church building we're sitting in, I am. And also, I'm talking about our hearts. Because I think when Jesus was talking to the folks sitting on the beach, he was talking about both things. The Christian life is about taking these parables and putting them into practice, both inside us and outside us, in small ways and in big ways. How can our hearts be good soil, open to the seed of the word? How can the church be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood? These are the questions we are called to ask, that we must ask. The good news is that we don't do any of this alone. As we heard in our first reading today from Isaiah, the 55th chapter, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. In other words, the sower is sowing, and the sun is shining, and the rain is watering, and the word is even now growing among us and in us. God's purposes will be accomplished in this world. And we have the immense privilege of being part of it. We get to be part of the growth and in the end of the harvest. And that's why we are here today. That's why we gather to sing praises to God, to share bread and wine. We talk amongst one another about what we can do next to make this little corner of Harvard Square that we have been given good soil. And so we work hard and we love harder and we give thanks. Thanks to God for all that has been sown, for all that has been grown, and for all that is to come. And so that massive community garden that was behind my parsonage, it got a little smaller the next year because we realized that we had bitten off a little more than we could chew. We didn't need a small farm, we just need a garden. But the growth continued. The next year, our little tiny church in our little community of 900 people, that's how big that town was, they opened a preschool. It was the only preschool in town, much needed. It was kind of a crazy idea. And if you build it, people will come, sort of dream. And people came. People came because they had seen that the church was good soil. It was a place where seeds and their kids could grow. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, let our hearts be good soil. Let our church be good soil. Help us to welcome and care for your word and for your beloved children, all those who blow into our midst looking for a place to grow. By your mercy, give us the wisdom, the strength, and the courage to care for all the gifts you have given us. In the name of Jesus, crucified and risen, amen.
Amen.